stop persistence as our history is real. A song will can shine like gold. Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 99. It's April the 12th, 2023. And my guest today is the assistant girls basketball coach at Woodrow Wilson High School. He is a former employee of ESPN and a good friend, Kevin Henry. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, thank you, coach. I surely appreciate it.
And I worked with your sister for several years in the education field, Carolyn, and she worked at Park, and she's been at Beckley Stratton, and gosh, I don't know, how many years did she work?
I think 41 or 42 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I know I'm, you know, I'm 52, I'm going to say almost about 9 years, so about 41 years.
And a lot of those years, she was also working at the alternative school, and right after the regular session, she would stay there until 7, 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, she always comes to my mother's house around about 7:15, wow. You know, want to get some dinner.
Man, but she was an excellent teacher, and is she still subbing?
Yes, she is. She's doing long-term math at Park.
Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
We'll tell her I said hey.
Okay, I certainly will.
Did you have any other siblings?
Yes, I have two brothers and another sister. And my brother's back here. He worked at Walter Reed in D.C., and he retired and moved back here like 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I have an oldest brother. He was an attorney, used to work for executive with the U.S. with USO. And then I have another sister who remain in D.C. She was a paralegal with the Department of Justice,
okay.
And she retired. I'm the youngest of five.
So you're the younger. I am two of four, and sometimes there's advantages and disadvantages
yeah.
to that. But where did you live growing up?
Well, I lived right in East Beckley, right up the street from Stratton, you know, Elementary. Well, it was a high school. Then when I was there, it was the junior high. Then I still remain there to this day. When my mother passed on and when my sister had breast cancer, now I was up in Connecticut, you know, working at ESPN when I got laid off, and when my dad, you know, was only two women at the house, so they'll just come out and try to be the man and, you know, help them out. You know, there wasn't any males surrounding them, so I just came and surrounded them, and you know, the male surrounding, so I helped out, and then to this day, I still remain there in my mother's house.
When you were younger, of course, that Stratton was a junior high when you went to junior high school. What were the first sports you were involved with?
Oh, well, definitely football. Uh-huh. I was playing for East Beckley, yeah, you know, under, you know, William Mayo and Reverend Walter Leach. And they were, you know, they were father figures.
Uh-huh.
After my father passed, and I went to play for East Beckley, and they became my father figures. And, you know, Reverend Tommy Moore and you know, Mr. Kidd, Mr. Cookie Kidd, and they were like the father figures around me. And we, you know, and I remember Reverend Leach, he did the eulogy at my mother's funeral, and we was talking about East Beckley days, and he was saying he was coaching future men. And I was, you know, happy to hear that.
Yeah.
It was honored, you know, for him coaching me and being a father figure around me.
Walter Leach went to school, Sylvia, with me. He was a year or so ahead of me in school. And He was one of the toughest guys growing up. Nice guy. Nice guy, but he was tough.
Everybody said he's tough.
Not too many people want to mess with him.
No, you don't.
but last time I ran into him, and his wife used to come up to Y some after he retired, and I ran into him up there, and we see him actually about every day, but I haven't been up there in a while, and I don't see him as often.
Last time I saw him was almost, well, it was almost 2 weeks ago, because with Brian and Gina Andre's mom and dad just celebrated their 50th anniversary.
Yeah,
together, and they had a dinner at the Armory, and we had a good time.
Yeah, he actually, him and Tommy Moore and Gene Neighbors, and I think there was somebody else. They were in a singing group. They sang at my mom's church one time, and I was over there. It was something Street Boys.
Corner Boys. Yeah, the Corner Boys. They sang at the dinner also.
Okay, they were good.
Yeah, they were real good.
So it was football, and did you play football in junior high?
I played like one year. I was the manager. My seventh grade year went undefeated when Stratton went undefeated. When they had Bull Parker was playing, he was in the ninth grade. And, you know, Coach Melvin Ross at that time was a good coaching him at Miller Hall. And I was the manager, and I was fortunate to be a manager on that team. And it was great. And I was still playing with East Beckley at the time also.
Well, Bull's dad went to Sylvia School when I was there. He was a year behind me, and he was an outstanding athlete when he got in high school. He was a good football player, wrestler, threw the shot, I think he threw the discus too in track, but did a little bit of everything. Yeah. But he was a good singer. I mean, he was really something else. But, but you did play a little basketball.
Yes, I did. I played in my junior high years. Then high school. This is when I tried to hit the books, and then my senior year, I became a manager again. David Kidd actually said, "Man, you might as well, with friends and everything, hang out with us. You and me and Andre, just get us together. And why don't you come become a manager?" I said, "Okay, that'd be a good, be a good thing." "Well, I have to deal with Barksdale, almost every day." And it was fine. Everybody say Barksdale, how much, he was not a tyrant. He was a good man, good coach, and he always had, always crack a joke every now and then. He was passionate about basketball. At the same time, he was also a human being to crack it, and making jokes and having fun with us,
Well, I tell you, in my experience of coaching, a good manager is hard to find. I've had some good ones, and I've had some not so good ones. I've had a few I've had to run off.
Well, just like that with girls basketball also. You got to find good people, just hard to find. Good kids are hard to find.
So what year did you graduate from Woodruff?
I graduated in 1988.
88.
Yeah, that's when the first time we went to the state basketball tournament in 10 years under Coach Barksdale.
So you was at school when my oldest son was there. And he graduated in 89, I think. But he didn't play football until his senior year, and he wrestled and he played baseball, and then I tried to get him to go out for football in the 10th grade, and he said he was too small. And I said, "Man, it depends on how big your heart is, how big you are." And he could have played. After he played in senior year, he had such a great time. He said, "I wish you'd have made me play in the 10th. Couldn't do that. No. Now at Stratton, they're building a new school, and I went by there the other day, and man, that thing is something else.
It is. It sure is.
But it's kind of sad that they're going to tear the old school down, but they're trying to keep as much memories.
You got to keep history, there.
I think that's a good gesture, but it's still, kind of sad that keep it in that particular location. That's something they would have to do. But I think it'll work out.
Yeah, I think it'll work out on too, because I think property value is going to go up too. So
yeah, oh, absolutely. With a school like that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's first thing.
State
people
of art. Yeah.
Moving in, they ask what kind of school you have there. Mm-hmm. And now, what kind of music did you listen to back in those days?
Oh, wow. That's when, you know, we still listen to, you know, R&B, because, you know, my sister and my brother, we used to listening to it, and you know, gospel in the morning. We got Sunday mornings when my mother play, you know, gets me up in the morning, plays gospel music. And right now, I mean, I listen to variety music, like 70s music. I grew up in the 70s. Then here come along hip hop, and you know, it's almost 50. It's 50 years that it's still around this year. Uh-huh. It'll be 50 years this year, and grew up on that.
Well, you were a little young for Motown, but it's still around.
Yes, it is. It's timeless. It's timeless music.
And that's what I listen to.
Me too.
And,
yeah.
Still do.
I do too. Yeah, yeah. I still listen to, you know, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, you know. And I mean, it's just timeless music. But music is just so different right now. It's just...
I agree.
I just can't understand it.
You got, and of course, some of those guys, I've seen the Four Tops and the Temptations and some live, and of course, most of them are gone now and they've replaced them, but the music's still good.
Yes,
now, when you were at Woodrow, who were some of the stars in basketball and football and stuff?
I know my 10th grade year when Bull Parker was a senior.
Uh-huh.
And then my 11th grade year became John O'Dell, Terry Nichols, Andre Green, Steve Gaither. And when track, in my junior year, my gosh, that was a great team. They still had, well, they had the record, but even though it was broken down when they had, Terry Scooter, Tommy Two, and Tony Lawson.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had their, 4x1 and 4x2 for a long time. Yeah. Till they broke it. Then basketball, you know, you had Mark Gilbert, Larry English. Then my junior and senior year, you had David Kidd and Kiko Wallington, Andre Neighbors. And Tink was coming along. Tink and Kevin English were coming along. They were sophomores. They were going to be on the come up. And Chris Daniels.
They were some good athletes.
Yes, they were.
Really. When the group that graduated in 89, when they were in the ninth grade, we were undefeated in football at Park.
Mm-hmm.
But our toughest game was against Stratton. That's when they had Tommy Moore in them. I think we beat them 7-6.
Oh, wow.
It came down to the very last seconds of the ball game for us to win that. But the thing about that group, a lot of those guys, when they got in high school, they didn't grow. So they didn't have their senior year, they only won like 3 ball games or something. But and they lost a couple close games. But they... the line, they had Jeff Lieber center, and he only weighed 150 pounds.
Oh, wow.
They had guys playing tackle, weighed 185.
Yeah.
They just didn't get any bigger.
Yeah, that was like, my senior year, they was like only won like 2-3 games because, you know, we had Stephon Ross as running backs, him and Steve Parks, but Stephon couldn't do it all because he had to play defense. He was a hell of a player on defense. I've seen him put a lot of hits on people.
Now, when you got out of high school, where'd you go?
I went to West Virginia State.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets.
Yes, sir. And my sisters went there, and all their friends went. And then, you know, when I went down there, when I first attended, you know, I didn't nobody. It was small and everything. And people come around from, you know, different places, like from like New York, Philadelphia, D.C. and Detroit and Cincinnati and Florida. That was the majority of the football players. And I didn't know anybody. Then when it got to my sophomore and junior year, it grew on me. And, you know, then I was working at the time, working part-time at UPS in the Charleston Hub in South Charleston. And then people, then I had, you know, other state students were working there also. And it just came around and just started growing and starting to get to know people. And the people in Institute were lovely people. I have a lot of extended families out there. I love them very much down there.
I saw, well, my oldest son, John, went down there.
Yeah, it's for baseball.
I saw in the paper the other day where West Virginia State was going to extend part of their campus to downtown Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a building down there they were going to put. But also, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, they've got, West Virginia State has a very extensive program with the high school students and stuff, and they've got over 5,000 students online.
Online, yes.
And mm-hmm. That's the big thing now.
Yeah, and the campus has grown so much. There's so much history there also, too. They have the statue of Katherine Johnson, you know, they made a movie out of, you know, made a movie out of a biopic from Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
They have a statue of it, and then they have a statue of, you know, Earl Lloyd in the gym. In that new gym. And it's a beautiful, it's just like made out of coal.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful campus.
He was the first black athlete in the NBA.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was Cal Bailey still down there when you was there?
Yes, he was. Uh-huh. Yeah. He, only time you probably didn't only seen the baseball players, maybe the first week of the first semester and the first week of the second semester. That was it. Because he had him training. He worked them players hard, and you know, and the results were, you know, they made dividends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, paid dividends out there. I remember James Ellsworth was there when I was there. He was like the conference pitcher of the year, conference player of the year, excuse me. And John O'Dell was a relief pitcher at the time, my freshman and sophomore year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scott Kelly was down there.
Yeah, Scott Kelly was there. Yeah, that was my, you know, he's an 88 graduate. Yeah, he played catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, they, well, Cal had, and a lot of people don't realize he, after he got a little older and when he had time, he played softball too. And he was, we would run in, I played a lot of softball. We ran mm-hmm. into them several times down in Huntington and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was the jacker.
Right?
He was the guy at the long ball.
He was a good coach. He was a very good coach.
And he had Billy Joe Hicks play that helped him also, and he was a good athlete.
Oh wow, yeah. But Cal, he was a man. Matter of fact, he was a professor of state in education.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a good ball player too. Yeah. But what'd you get a degree in from you?
I got it in mass communications.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to say it was the dream, like working, maybe working on television. I probably want to work on television ever since I was little because, you know, my parents at the time, we used to watch World News Tonight when they had, you know, had all the four anchors like Peter Jennings, Frank Reynolds, and Max Robinson. I forgot who the other anchor was. And I was like, we used to watch it every night just because of Max Robinson, you know. Because he was the first black anchor, you know. And uh-huh. I was like, wow, I want to get into that. We used to watch the news almost every day. When I used to get up in the morning and the paper right there, I used to read the paper while I'm eating cereal or, eating breakfast. And just go ahead and then before I get on the bus and just start. And then, I loved going to English class and just like to start, just like writing, putting everything together, punctuation and everything like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, when you graduated, what direction did you head?
Well, I was trying to get in the job market coach at that time, but, I was still working at UPS part-time. And I went to D.C. for a couple months and tried to get my, what I wanted to do. And I said, it was time for me to go back to, go to grad school, then I got accepted at Marshall in a graduate program. I started out in journalism. And it was getting, I ain't gonna say pressure was getting to me. I said, well, let me go into athletic administration. And I went and got my master's in it. I came out fine with it. And I enjoyed it. At that time, it was like, when Marshall, when they had Bobby Pruitt was there, was coaching. And, when Randy Moss was playing and Chad Pennington and, Eric Kressel, then Chad and then Randy came along. And I got to know him a little bit. And he was, he's a good people. Everybody tried to expect that he was young and, You know, no, he's not. Randy Moss is one of the smartest men I've ever known.
Yeah. Like, he's doing quite well.
Yes, he is. He's doing great, and I'm proud of him.
Who was the best high school athlete you ever seen live?
Oh, Randy. Yeah, no question. Yeah,
same here.
Yeah, then the second probably was Bimbo Coles.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got the opportunity. I scouted for Woodrow Wilson. And so wherever they were playing, I would go to check out the opponents for the next week. That's before they had all the tapes and huddles and all that stuff. And we always played DuPont the next week, and I would go down and watch them play South Charleston. I did that for 3 years. And South Charleston was tough.
Yes.
And that was the three best high school football games I've ever seen. I mean, it was – and Randy Moss's senior, I mean, he kicked off, he punted, he received, he ran the ball, he did everything. And he was something else. And like I said, South Charleston, I think Casto might have been the coach down
there. Probably Bryce Casto.
They were loaded, and it was, but those Moss, I never actually saw Kurt Warner play.
Me either.
But still, overall, I think Moss was just a hard athlete.
Yeah, because I know Randy and Gene Abels, they're still friends to this day. But I was there when that basketball game was sold out at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
that was the biggest experience I've seen in the, you know.
Is that when they had Scruggs?
Yeah, when they had Scruggs and Kelvin Pannell and. Oh, Donnie Atkins, it was then, you know, they had Randy and Jason Williams. That was just, I mean, I never experienced nothing like that in the Civic Center in my life. I've been to many concerts there, but that game, it was just pandemonium. Oh, yes.
That was something else.
Yes,
now,
it was.
Now, what, after you got done with the, your master, working on your master's, where did you go then?
I went, actually,
to go to work?
Yeah, it was time to go to work, yeah. I moved to Atlanta, and David Kidd was living down there. Then I had a mutual friend down there, and she was trying to look for work also too. And we went to this this journalism symposium, and we saw the president at the time was CNN was Tom Johnson, and we got the meeting, and he said it was like that. We was trying to look for a job. He said, well, he gave him his card and said, call, you know, this person first thing Monday morning. And I did. And they was like, oh, you want to set up an interview and a test, set up a test for it? I said, yes, fine by me. And it took it like that week and the next week. And, you know, I got the job. And then I was working as a production assistant at the time with CNN. And then I moved over when they had CNN Sports Illustrated. I went over there then and was a production assistant, worked with everything around with Fred Hickman and Nick Charles and Vince Cellini and those guys.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so what do you do? I mean, what does a production assistant do?
Well, you have to, you know, first thing, you know, you come in there, check, we'll see what the news of the day is, anything, news, sports, anything is newsworthy. Then you try to get a show together. And what's going to be the headlines, you know, the highlights. You got to edit highlights like you do SportsCenter. You have to write the script for them, for the anchor sometime. But most of the time they know how to write the scripts. And then you write a shot sheet, you know, if you're watching a game or something, you have to edit. Then you have to write the shot sheet down, what they're going to have to do, because they don't know what the game is, you know, the game is about. They doing other stuff, writing and trying to get everything, get their scripts together.
You don't have, you're working within a time limit too, aren't you?
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're working almost like a newspaper, like a deadline. If they want this highlight coming at this such and such time, you have to produce, you know, you got to produce it and put it out there on time. Yeah, on the like deadline.
Who were some of the who was one of the nicest people you worked with as far as name recognition?
I would probably say Fred Hickman. Yeah, you know, like great Fred Hickman. He was still, he was very nice. He talked to you and how things with him. He was just one of the coolest people because, you know, he's telling me about, you know, he had a, you know, a drug addiction at the time when he worked, where he first worked at CNN when it was taking off. Then when he returned and, you know, he got sober and he just started telling about stories about his addiction. Uh-huh. And everything. Then when he got laid off, he went to the Yes Network, and we kept in touch at times.
And who was the most famous person you ever met?
Wow! Oh man, it's so many, Coach. Oh man, I met Bill Russell. I met Bill Russell because he didn't accept no autographs. He just shook it, he'd give you a handshake and say hi, and it just kept it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Darryl Brown, when Brown was over, who was the guy from Washington Redskins? Darryl Green. I'd always followed the Redskins, and I saw you coming out when they were going to have a group meeting. I said, well, I'll go out there and get an autograph because I always I've been following the Redskins since the early 60s.
Yeah.
But he was busy writing something.
Yeah, after I graduated from Marshall, I did a game day internship with the Redskins at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the last. Matter of fact, that was the last year the Cooks on the team. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was. You know, that was a game day experience. In their PR department, in their media relations department.
But he didn't make any time for me that day.
Yeah, I took.
But then Randy Moss came over. But then that night, if I'd have known Darryl was going to be at the ball game that night, I would have been up there because he was talking to everybody then. But
yeah,
that
I remember. Mean, yeah, it was. Yep, it was there. Stuff, yeah,
he's kind of busy. But So you left Atlanta and went to Connecticut.
Yeah, I got laid off from CNN Sports Illustrated. And a person said, man, you know, do you like to work at ESPN? I said, ooh, Connecticut. Oh, I said, wow, that's going to be cold and snowy. I said, well, I'm used to it. I'm from West Virginia. So I went up there and, they told me the person's name was Fred Brown. Then they said, can you come up for an interview? Like that, you know, a few weeks later, I said, yeah, sure. Flew up there and, they talked, you know, they gave me history lessons, what was going on, you know, what was about, and had to take a test again. And like, I ain't going to say aced it, but I passed well, like 90% of it, between 90 and 95%. And they said, well, do you want to come, you know, do you want to come start in that November? I said, Thanksgiving? I said, yeah, sure. And I got started there and did Sports Center. Then somebody said, do you want to go and work for PTI? I said, pardon the interruption. That was fledgling at the time. I'll say, yeah, sure. I like to, you know, to work with them. And plus, you know, I didn't want to work on weekends at the time either. They said, well, you start Monday, meet the person, the executive producer of the show, Jim Cohen, and go to his office and talk to him. And we talked. And I said, well, I'll be doing a video and the editing and doing like news editing stuff with it. He said, yeah, fine. Come with us, you know, glad to join. Then, I met the people in DC. We met like through email or EPNS, like wire each other. And, his name was Eric Ronholm, who I'm grateful of to this day. And the producer, Matt Kelleher, and his wife, Shannon Suzuki, and associate producer, Matt Iwano, and the editor, Megan McHale. And we started out, said, can you get the tapes? And we read, say, can you cut this? Cut the highlight of it and send it to us? I said, yeah, sure. And we had like two feeding times, feed the video like at noon and probably like to like 3:30 and cut all the way to 4 to showtime because they start doing the show around about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
start taping. It's not live unless some breaking news happened. And live, and then we put the show together. Then around about 5:15, we're done till the show starts. Till they come on at 5:30.
Do they store all the broadcasts? I mean, do they keep those for a certain amount of years? Mm-hmm.
They keep it for a long time.
Yeah.
They have a library right in the Bristol, on the Bristol campus. Then they have a library right down the street. They keep everything, probably about maybe 60,000-70,000 square feet.
Wow.
Right, like about a mile
now,
away.
ESPN, doesn't Disney own ESPN?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see any Disney people?
You seem like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. They just came to, they came on the Bristol campus one day, follow around. Then plus, the Sports Center commercials too. So you came
back to Beckley to your original home with your sister and your mom at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
When did you start coaching?
Wow. it was 6 years. Because Brian said, well, his assistant left. He said, man, you right on, you want to come out here and coach? I said, coaching, man, coaching girls? Let me experiment. He said, well, come on, now, like, about, we're going to have practice around 4:30 in the morning because we're going to have, because the girls was going to go see the volleyball tournament, see Woodrow play volleyball. It was something like that. I can't vividly remember. And he said, man, come on out. I said, okay. Then I got into it and, just trying to motivate and stuff these girls and stuff like that. Then I said, well, let me get the coaching bug on. He said, Brian, I already had you as a coach, man. You was all right. I said, okay. And it just started to grow on me as the year went along. And it was coaching coaching a bunch of good girls. And Brian, he's a mean coach. No, Brian is a demanding coach. He would demand the best out of you with your effort. That's all he want. That's all he asks for. Okay. Then I said, let me go. Then my first year, we went to the state tournament. And in the state tournament, we had Lake and Ball. I gotta congratulate her because Transylvania University won the Division III national championship. And then it just caught on with me. And the girls caught on with me. They, respect me. I'm the good cop of the coaching staff. Just put it at that.
You gotta have it.
Yeah, because I have to say, go on to Brian. I said, let me go on and talk to him. If they mad at Brian, I said, well, let me go over there and talk to them.
And, now, this year you guys went to the States and you lost the first game, but
yes.
You really was playing good ball there.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I would say, tell these girls, I said, look, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
How do you think they'll be next year?
I think we'll be pretty good, coach. Everything's uncertain now. We might, since they have this now, now they pass that law with the transfer portal. Yeah. So
don't ever know.
Don't know what's going to go on. So we're going to have two juniors. So they'll be seniors next year. So I think we'll be pretty good next year.
What do you think about those new laws or rules? I mean, kids can go transfer anywhere they want to one time. And now they're talking about four classes in other sports besides basketball. Well, and I don't necessarily think it failed in basketball, but there were some blowouts there.
Yes, it was.
And what do you think about football and volleyball and those sports?
I don't know about the class situation because – you only got, 29 AAA schools left? And, if we have more schools, I say we can put more classes up. I think you should remain the same. I think it's just a marketing, a moneymaker to me. Yeah.
I agree. I just can't see West Virginia is losing enrollment every year. Yes. And we're going to add another class.
Yeah.
I just don't know about
that. Yeah, because plus two.
What about the kids going anywhere they want to for one time?
It's kind of mixed because I feel bad for, like, you know, the single A schools. You know, like the single A schools that, you know, have low enrollment. And they didn't just leave and go want to play. You know, I know you want to better yourself going to another school in another class, but it's going to hurt all the, you know, to me, it's just going to hurt the small schools a lot.
Yeah. I think if you've got a good ball player, they probably won't be around.
Be around. Probably,
If they can move.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be something. Now, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? What are you, you 52, you say?
Yes, sir. Oh man, that's a good question. Oh, well, I like to, you know, be around in this world because, you know, we had known too many people that we had lost last couple of years.
Yeah, you want to stick around.
Yeah, you want to stick around. But
what's on your bucket list? What's something you'd like to accomplish, or some place you'd like to go? Or
I'd like to go to almost every baseball stadium. Every baseball stadium, and I would love to do that.
I'd like to do that too.
That
would take a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and it would be expensive.
Yeah, it'd be expensive. Yeah,
especially nowadays.
Or I'd like to go travel around the U.S. And go take the train all across the country.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Kevin, I one last question. How did you get the name Radar?
I was 8-9 years old. And I remember, you know, Walter Leach's son, Lil Walter. He just came. We were just playing football somewhere. He said, "Man, you know, either we was playing tackle football, and I was going after the tackles." He said, "Man, you're like a radar out there going after that ball, man." I said, okay. He said, "I'm going to give you the name Radar." Then people start calling me that. You know, I used to hate it. I was like, "Come on, man, my name is Kevin, man." And it just stuck. It just stuck. I can't let it go now. But I love the name. As long as they know my first name and, you know, my last name, know me as a person. It's Kevin. I don't have no regrets about it, Coach.
Well, Kevin, it's nice knowing you.
Yes, sir, for a long time.
I appreciate you coming and talking to us, and we'll get you back again sometime.
Hey, man, I enjoy it. Yeah. I'll come back again. Love to come back. I'm just a phone call away.
Oh, buddy, appreciate it. Anybody else out there would like to be on the program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. This is Wayne Bennett. God bless you.